the Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 2nd, 2018. In turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. It's getting worse every day. Please make this choice tonight for Yeshua if you haven't already. Need help after the program? Call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, is
620-878-4682.
And an emergency, my cell phone number is
316-619-4886.
Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube Live, and YouTube later also as an archive, but it's on some FM station. So pray about supporting airtime, because airtime isn't free, and those of you that support radio airtime depends on your donations to keep us on the air. And right now, a new month has hit, and we need to pay radio airtime. So on another note, let's thank our listener bases in places like
Nakuru, Kenya.
Go ahead.
Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Durban, South Africa, Warclaw, Poland, Cleveland, Ohio. Oh, and of course the good old USA, such as Cleveland, Ohio, Seattle, Washington, Tucson, Arizona, Bakersfield, California, and Wichita remains the largest group of listeners to the radio program that's podcast later tonight.
No comment. Follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77 on Twitter. Now, prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours, Father. Please lift the veil from their eyes and their ears so they can hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. But before we get into that, we're going to have a song by Brother Ben. You like Brother Ben, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to play a song by him. Okay, let's do that first.
Road they are drawn, and as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro. A burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul.
By Brother Ben McKnight. You remember him, of course. He used to have the 70th Week magazine. Of course, I'm talking to my wife. Say hello to the people, Mom.
Hello, people.
Hello, people. Okay, well, today we're going to be talking about various things, but we're going to start off by talking about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just as that song says, you know, people are walking in darkness. It's our job. It says, do your job well. Our job is to tell and warn the people. Apparently, with everything going on, the mainstream church is not doing their job well. So I'm going to have my wife read this, and it's from Charles Silverstein. He's a psychologist in a private practice in Manhattan, New York. Now, this was a paper was written for his book called For the Ferryman. Now, this actually came out of the Journal of Gay and Lesbian Mental Health. And so... go ahead, Mom, read this little article.
Are you saying homosexual is normal? Charles Silverstein, Ph.D., December 15, 1973. On that date, the Board of Trustees of the American Psychiatric Association, APA, announced that homosexuality had been removed as a mental disorder per se from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. It was the most important achievement of the gay liberation movement. I sat in the Washington, D.C. auditorium of the American Psychiatric Association listening to the press conference to announce the decision, amused to hear reporters ask Dr. Alfred Friedman, president of the association, such questions as, if it's not a mental illness now, why was it on the list of mental illness for the past 50 years? Since the decision to remove homosexuality as a mental illness was as much a political as a scientific act, the president's logic in answering the reporters' questions was often tortuous. Are you saying the homosexuality is normal? Asked one reporter. No, said the president, only that it's not abnormal. How extraordinary, I thought. Only a year before, these same psychiatrists were holding meetings to proclaim how ill we were. I was witnessing a major change in the society brought about by the political pressures gay activists like those of us sitting in the audience had exerted. It demonstrated what I had long believed. Psychiatric diagnosis stands on a foundation of morality and politics, not science. It was one thing to have always believed it, another to see it in action. I want to tell you this story. How we how we, radical gay activists, forced the psychiatrics to remove the scarlet H from our lives. Here's how it all came about.
Okay. There's a couple of big points in this. One, the psychiatrist or psychologist is pointing out that it's not by science, but it is by their radical movement, of just like what the left is doing, about yelling and screaming and doing all these things that forced them to change their opinion. Well, they really didn't. It's not really a question of changing their opinion, because you could tell the guy that was doing it, he says, "What are you saying, it's normal?" And he's saying, "No, it isn't normal. So if it's not normal, that means it's abnormal." But then he denies that it being, he says it's not abnormal. Yes, it's abnormal. We know that it's contrary to nature, but that's what's going on. But now, coupled with this, see, so we have a whole, these people in the 70s have rose, these are the parents of the children that were out there screaming that it's normal and protesting in the streets and all such forth and saying they're transgender and all these things, came from this radical generation that did it. And you see what the date is? 1973. Where did that come from? Well, meaning that the 60s is where all of that freedom of everything started. And, of course, we lost our way before that. But the point is it all goes back to the church being quiet and not doing their job well, as the song says. But let's go on with this a little bit. So in Luke, before we get into we'll go into that, and then I've got something else I want you to read. We might do that after break. But in Luke 10:12, Yeshua is recorded as saying, "I tell you, it would be more bearable on that day for Sodom, for in that town." He was describing a city. But the point is he's pointing out the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Luke 17:26-30, we find, and it says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be as in the days of the Son of Man," meaning the day of the Lord Yeshua, when he returns. "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Well, in both cases, what he's talking about there, he's pointing to the populations was warned. There was warning from Yahweh. Noah, it took him, what, we roughly think it was, what, how many years he built the ark? You remember? 100.
I was going to say 40. I don't know why 40 is in my brain.
Because it rained and drizzled 40 days and 40 nights. The rain kept a dropping.
That was 100.
Yeah, it was 100. Anyway, but so the rain kept coming down, and it killed them. So they were warned, just as they're being warned today. And what it means, there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking and planning and doing anything, but it means they were sidetracked with the world instead of listening to the warnings that were given them. And because, you know, we have to occupy until Yeshua gets here. We still have to, plant our gardens. You know, but we should store up and prepare for those.
Another way to say it is they were sidetracked with man's ideas instead of his ideas.
Right. Okay, so now here's another one about Sodom and Gomorrah. In Jude 1:7, it records that Sodom and Gomorrah were giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth as an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So strange flesh. Means what?
Same sexes,
but strange flesh also meant they were in other places it even points it out. They were also fornicating with
animals.
Yeah, right. Okay, now in Ezekiel, but here's another thing that most people don't point out when they talk about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, in Ezekiel it says, "Behold, this was the sin of Sodom. She and her daughters had pride. They had excess bread," which meant they were plentiful. They had plenty of everything. "Peaceful serenity," so
they had no worries.
Yeah, they had no worries. They were well to do. They had no worries, and they were fornicating and doing everything because the money, their lifestyle allowed them to do what they wanted to do, and that's what it did. That's why the more money, it seems, that a person has, the more step off into sin he is. That's why it's hard for a rich man to get in heaven. Let me finish what this says. She and her daughters had pride, excess bread, peaceful serenity, but she did not strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. But you see, there's also that problem. This is the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. They neglected the poor and the needy. They kept it for themselves. The prophet's description, combined with what the Torah reveals to us, that the following picture, the people of Sodom insisted on preserving their high quality of living to the extent that they established a principle not to let the poor and homeless reside in their city.
That sounds like what Wichita's trying to do.
Well, and that's also what many cities across the country are trying to do. But yes, Wichita, and we know that from eyewitness.
Because we work with the homeless, right? They keep telling them, move on, where are they supposed to move on to? They don't have nowhere to go.
Right, that's the point. Consequently, and that's why I feel sorry for the police, because it isn't the police are doing their job. They're told to tell them to move on. And they don't get, because I've talked to the police about this lots of times, and they say, Pastor Dan, it's really a real problem because they tell us, our bosses tell us to tell them to move on, but we don't have no place to tell them to move on to.
True.
Okay. Consequently, when a destitute person would come seeking help, and we're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, they would revoke his right to any welfare, public or private. By doing this, they figured they would preserve an elite upper-class community who would monopolize the profits of that bountiful land and offers without having to distribute any revenues to a lower class of people. Now, an opinion in the Midrash, which is an authority collection of material embodying the oral Torah of Jewish law. So, in other words, the Mishnah is part of the oral Torah. Anyway, Abbot 5:10 strengthens this picture of moral depravity when it defines a sodomite as one who says, what's mine is mine and what yours is mine. The Mishnah decrees that a man who wishes to remove himself from the social responsibility of welfare by closing himself and his wealth off from others, even if he makes the claim that he is not taking away from anyone else. What's interesting, the sages did not merely draw attention to the relationship between economic injustices of the generation of the flood and the social depravity of Sodom. The Torah narrative concerning Sodom reveals something different. They called out to Lot, where are the men that came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them. Indeed, the men demanded to relate to Lot's male guests sexually. According to the Midrash in Genesis, the destruction caused by the flood also had a similar clause. Now, there's a rabbi, his name is Azariah, said that every creature had been corrupted in the generation of the flood. The dog would mate with the wolf, the hen with the peacock. Those are what? Abominations, right?
Right.
And that's also, but mankind's making those, right?
Right.
What do you call
them? The fall
of
man, God didn't do it, man did it.
Right, but what are we seeing right now?
The same thing.
But not only we are seeing people do it, and because you can go on the internet and see people doing sex with dogs and animals and all kinds of things,
exactly.
And they talk about all that. But we're talking about now we're in an age where they have a thing called a CRISPR, and they mix genes from all kinds of different species together and create something like they're creating, like they've recently created a brain put it into a small crab to see how it would react. That's right, a brain. Thereby coming to include all flesh, human and animal. The rabbi said, even the land became corrupt. Now, this is in Noah times, as they had sowed wheat and the land would sprout degenerate wheat.
So, now, wait a minute. You just said they put a human brain in a crab?
Well, they in the DNA of a crab, so a crab came out with a human brain, yeah.
What? Oh,
a one-cell brain. Now, we don't know. They don't know if it'll think or what it'll do, but they have did it, and they are doing it. Now,
wow.
can you see where this? So that's an abomination.
Yes, of course it is.
Of course it is. Now, on the other hand, but how do we get to this place? How do we get to this place? Where do we? How do we get to this place where Isaiah points out? In 5:20 points out, and that's King James Version, said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Well, let me tell you what. You know, now we have a generation of people that every time they turn around, they say, okay, I can Google this, and they'll pull something out. Now, Google, listen, is run by progressives and non-Christian people that want to do away with Christianity. So when you Google something about religion or about homosexuality, it's going to bring you all kinds of things up that say homosexuality is all right, and that all of those things, all those abominations are all right because that's what they believe. And so people that stand on and say, well, I Googled something, I found it on Google. Well, I can find it. Google will tell me I can do just about anything in the world.
You can find about anything on Google to go with what you want to
believe. But it's going to be in the first things. The abominations are going to be mostly in the first things, that page or two that you pull up.
Right.
Because that's what they promote. You, to do research, you have to do deeper research and go to sound doctrine. Things, sound doctrines is things that have been established for a long time. Just because it's new doesn't
make it right.
But absolutely. So anyway, we're going to talk about some more. And for the record, there's another, you could also go to DuckDuckGo, but I really implore you, don't just look at the first few things that pops on your phone. Even if you think, well, I'll find an auto parts. Well, you know, it doesn't necessarily bring up the best auto parts. It brings up the one that's paid the most money. And so you have to do better research, folks. Don't just rely on Google. And, folks, while we're gone, you can go over to prophecyhour.com and check us out. And, of course, I'll have some notes over to the pastor's page. So go over to the pastor's page and look around, and we'll come back in how many minutes?
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And, of course, I'm having an enjoyable day with my wife. Folks, I really like doing radio with her. She's a lot of fun. Sometimes she can be a pain in the neck, but I'm sure she'll say the same thing about me. So, are you glad to be back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got? Did I create something? I mean, you seem to start at the like radio.
No, you didn't create me. God did.
Oh, my gosh. But I invited you to radio.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I'll let you get away with that.
You let me get away with it. Okay. Let's go. We don't need to talk about the Mission Church right now. We're going to continue on what we were talking about. So, now, saying that Google says all things are good, I mean, you know, evil good and good evil is what we're seeing in so many different things on that search engine. And this is the reason I chose this subject for today is because I read this article today, and I want you to read it.
It goes farther than that search engine. It's out there in society. This whole society is going towards that. Good is evil, and evil is good, just like the word said it was.
Well, right, but online is a reflection of society.
Right.
That's the point. Yeah, it wouldn't be out there on that if it wasn't society. And now society is all about the screen. It's brain worship.
Oh, exactly. Everywhere, anywhere you go, everybody's got their phone in their hand.
Right. And so we need to, you know, I implore people, you need to go back to the old-fashioned ways of looking things up or just do deeper research. Don't be fooled by the search engine. And what they say, but that's where people are at. They
remember the saying your mom and dad used to teach you, don't believe everything you see and don't believe everything you hear. Search it for yourself.
Right. That's why, you know, even the in the word is pointed, it says, do as the Bereans and, you know, search the scriptures. And by the way, when they say search the scriptures, what do they mean?
The Torah.
The Torah. Well, what about the New Testament?
The New Testament goes along with the Torah. Without the Torah, the New Testament makes absolutely no sense, because the New Testament just reiterates everything that the Torah has already told you, but in modern terms where people can understand, supposedly understand it better, but they're missing it because they're trying to do away with the Torah, so they can't understand it fully, so they put their twist on it to get a belief that they can believe with just the New Testament. Right. When they need the whole word, the last verse in the Bible says, don't take away or add to my word. That means from Genesis 1 to Revelation, what is it, 21, I think?
Anyway, let's go with this. When it says search the scriptures, any time in the New Testament that it mentions, so anywhere in the Bible that it says scriptures, they're talking about the Torah. You couldn't have, and people say, well, what about the New Testament? Isn't that scriptures? Well, you know what? There's some great writings, and I love the New Testament, and I wouldn't do without it. We need it. It's part of it. Testimony of Yeshua, the Gospels. But you can't really legitimately call it the scriptures by the Bible, because it wasn't written. You understand? Right. They were living it. So when the people in the New Testament says, search the scriptures as the bread, they are like Paul told Timothy, well, you had the Holy Scripture since you were a youth. They're pointing to the Torah. There was no New Testament in existence. They didn't point to something that they themselves didn't even know would be written. You know what I'm saying? They didn't even know that those things would be written nor put together in a book. They did not know that at that time. So for the Torah to be done away with, all the talk that they talked about in all the talk, conversation, is all based on Torah. And here's another one. You know, when Yeshua spoke, Yeshua was 99% always speaking to people that knew the Torah, that people had risen. Because remember, he said he went to the lost tribes. He did not go out to the Gentiles, people that didn't have the book, but he was going to those that had fallen away from the Torah. But they knew Torah. And so that was the point. So, you know, when they say a lot of things in the New Testament, they assume, the assumption is that you've already read the Torah and that you knew it to a point, otherwise, or you was living it. Otherwise, that's the, they don't go into some detail, because when they make references, they're referring to that. But anyway, so having said that, this really tore my heart, this one right here, and we'll talk more about it after my wife reads it. And this is from Christian Headlines, and it's some contributor, and it's about in Toronto, Canada. Go ahead, Mother.
Transgender madness. Surgeon performs mastectomies on 14-year-old girls. A Toronto plastic surgeon who calls himself a leader in the LGBT community says he has performed mastectomies on girls as young as 14 who identify as boys. LifeSiteNews.com interviewed the doctor, Mark Dupree, who said he performed surgeries to remove the breasts of two 14-year-old girls in the past 5 years who consider themselves transgender. He has conducted mastectomies on girls ages 15 and 16, too. The surgeries cost around $9,000. Parents should encourage questioning with their children to understand their story, he told the website. In an online forum with a patient, Dupree was asked the youngest age he would perform a mastectomy, and he responded 14 and older. And he said it's helpful if the child is 16 to 18 years older. As long as it is clear your child is firm about the decision to transition, and with my consultation with him or her, I would be happy to help, the post read. One controversy as noted in the LifeSite News is that the child may grow to regret the decision to have surgery. Michelle Critella, president of the American College of Pediatricians, says it's not uncommon for children who experience gender confusion to stop having those feelings. There are at least 6,500 genetic differences between men and women. Critella says in an online video, hormones and surgery cannot and do not change this.
Okay.
And that's a fact. I know I had thoughts about things when I was 14 that were way out there in the world. You're just learning. You don't know you're a child. How can they allow it? That's just
because look, it's this when you come away from here's why I keep trying to I'm telling the world, people are have fell away from sound doctrine. Things that we established many years ago and are established in the Word and that we're standing on, people are shedding new light on it because the church quit preaching sound doctrine. People started going to Google and the Internet to find their answers to things instead of looking at plainly what the Bible says. The Bible said, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says in Deuteronomy, and that's Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which came under a man, and neither shall a man put on woman's garment, for all are an abomination unto the Lord. That sound doctrine. And it's plain. You can understand it. That's what the Word says. We don't have to put a twist on it and look up 20 different things to say that, well, what does that mean? We know what that means. It says a man shouldn't dress up as a woman and a woman shouldn't dress up as a man, period, just like many other things in the Bible. But preachers started getting politically correct because they fell away, because they were forced into it by becoming a corporation instead of having Yeshua, the head of the church. The state became the head of the church. And so while some churches do preach the church, most don't. And also, they will preach according to the crowd. They don't want to tell, now, let alone, they don't want to talk about sin today because everybody will just go up and go down to church down the street. And then they lose revenue. And they can't afford it. So they're crashing. Not saying that there isn't some churches that do preach the right thing, but most do not. So, but again, we're going like this. You know, folks, that's not. You have a young girl and she has her breast removed and possibly, I guess they can eventually form something down there, you know, to be a male thing, whatever. The point is, but it's non-reversible, you
right.
know, and you do that to a child. This is a child, we have people that they don't listen to the Bible. When you remove the Bible from the discourse of things, we do what Satan says. Satan says, do as you will. And that's what he wants you to do. You know, he wants you to do what's contrary to the Word as an imitation. And so what people are being fueled by? They're being fueled by the Internet. That is what the primary thing is. Now, maybe our generation is still reading the Bible, and there's some youth that are doing it. But how many times is the final word left on Google, which is, by the way, run by people that are godless? You know, they have and something that is a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Now, I'm not saying there is. Yes, I even use Google and things myself, but you know what? I'm an avid researcher. It's just like I could go to the library, and I've researched all my life. I've read mountains and mountains of books. In fact, I have an attic that's still full of books. You know, I've always been a reader and a researcher. Difference between a reader and a researcher is a researcher looks for the source of things and continues on. Doesn't just find one book and says, okay, I agree with that. He reads the book, and then he reads other books on the subject by contrary opinions and then bases his opinion based on the preponderance of the evidence and then tests it when it's with the Word, sound doctrine. So, anyway, but people will pull up just what they see the first thing on Google and say, oh, Google said it, so see, you're wrong. No, you're not. You need to go to sound doctrine, things that have been established, that have been practiced for, let alone when I say sound doctrines, our views prior to, like this guy, 50 years, you know, in 70s, said, well, for 50 years, it was said that it was a mental health disorder. Well, but people of the Word have been saying it for how long?
Thousands of years.
So what is sound doctrine? That's sound doctrine. Even that gay person admitted that it wasn't based on science. It was based on the political climate and on the fact that they had pushed them into doing that. And so that's the same thing we're experiencing now. It's just like now. You see the devil, all these people out there it's okay to disagree with what a president does, but is it okay to talk about killing him?
No. When I was growing up, you couldn't even say anything bad about the president. They'd throw you in jail.
Okay, well, didn't the same apply to congressmen? Did you, you might say, well, I disagree with that guy, but you didn't say you wanted to kill him, did you?
No, that's a life threat. There was a charge for it. There is a charge for it, but they're not enforcing it nowadays.
Right, and it's just like now also, and so did you ever, I never thought that I would get to the point where I would hear politicians say, like now, Maxine Waters, just one of them, telling all the people, now go out there, if the guy supports Trump, then you need to verbally assault them, you need to physically assault them, you need to attack them, over and over.
We got arrested for a verbal assault. You said a bad word to somebody, they call the police, you go to jail.
Right, right. But now it's coming even from the opposition in Congress, because and the reason it doesn't come from most of the Republicans, they don't talk like that, is because Republicans mostly, prayerfully, are conservative, and you still have some morals that are not being abridged by, learning how to treat people. You don't talk to somebody in that mannerism. And also, folks, what else is becoming normal? You know what? I'm 63 years old, and I don't care what you say. The F word is not a normal speech and shouldn't be. And all the other words, if you listen to most people's speech, it's offensive. But most people don't think it's offensive. It's in print. It's in media.
It used to never be spoken out loud at all. It used to be a really bad thing to say. Now, everywhere you go, everywhere you turn, everybody, every other word is that word.
And the word says don't swear at all. It doesn't say just talks about, well, gee darn it, and which that's another subject entirely. But the point is it says don't swear about anything. Don't swear. You shouldn't do it. And so all this filth coming out of people, it's even poisoning the children of Yahweh. And America is, and let alone, we won't even go into, we'll save that for another program, but even going to the abortion things, people don't get, one of the reasons they don't mind killing even a baby that's coming out of the womb, getting ready to come out, and they kill it. Why don't they take it out and then kill it? Because maybe they can kill it before they spank it. Well, you know what? They like doing their things in darkness. See, if they reach inside and kill it, they don't see what they murdered. But they cut it up and they bring it out and it's alive. He knew you in the womb. And so when they talk, America, I don't know if it is exactly Mystery Babylon, but it says in her was found the blood of the saints. Let me ask you a question, Mom. A child. Now, is a child, let's say a child 2 years old dies. Is it going to, we'll use the firm. Is it going to go to a good place or is it going to go to a bad place?
What's going to heaven? It's not of age to realize right from wrong yet, so it's still under God's grace.
Okay, speak up just a little bit. But so it's under, the child is under God's grace. So then your premise is,
however,
that,
well, I'm not real sure about that, because the Lord says he'll curse children from second and third generation, so I'm not
okay,
sure.
Okay, but that's out of a curse thing. So we're talking about, that's under a curse. That's under a family curse, and that's another subject. But in general, and even Yeshua points it out, that children have access to the throne of Yahweh. And Yeshua says that if you offend one of these little ones, it's better that a millstone would be tied around your neck.
Right.
Then offend one of these little ones. So under that premise, the child is before the age of knowing something's wrong. Okay, so somebody that's in, like you say, with Yeshua or whatever, that in the final will be risen up to a glorified body then, right?
Right.
So that's called a saint, right?
Right.
So these children are saints, right?
Right.
Okay, so the Bible says that when Mystery Babylon is revealed as it's being destroyed, It says, in her was found the blood of the saints. You know how many abortions that, how many the blood of the saints America is responsible for in America and around the world, you know?
Probably billions.
Right. And, you know, I had a real hard time. That was one of the scriptures I always had a real hard time, or one of the, in the New Testament I had a hard time with, was trying to figure out if America was Mystery Babylon, how the blood of the saints could be in it, because, but then when you consider that factor, that's greater than any number of Christians slaughtered in the world since time, since there's been Christians, so to speak, the number of abortions. And so America is responsible for the blood of those children. I believe that America, we are trying to turn it back, and I do believe America was given a final chance with Donald Trump. But if we do not stand up and use our voices, church, and I'm not advocating that you leave your church. What I'm advocating for you is change. Go tell your pastor, start telling these things to your pastor. Try to get your church to change. Don't necessarily abandon it. That's only a very, very last thing, because you know what? You need the fellowship of believers, but it does say come out from among them. Anyway, now let's go to a different subject. Okay, so what'd you make for dinner at the Mission Church last Tuesday?
I made chili, hamburger, macaroni with marinated mushrooms.
With
little, they were little miniature marinated mushrooms. Yeah, it was really good.
Don't scoot back away. Stay close. And anyway, so, but didn't you run out?
Yes, I ran out, and I had to make hot dogs, and I think that's all I did Friday, or Tuesday, yeah.
You just did hot dogs. So
hot
you,
dogs, yeah.
So you ran out, and then you did, you had to do...
Oh, we did do beanie weenies. We did, okay, we did the chili mac stuff, and then we did like 6 plates of beanie weenies, and then I just did, after there had some late people come after I was done cleaning, that I just did a hot, couple hot dogs and... Yeah.
Right, okay.
But everybody always gets fed, and I find something.
Okay, I like that higher voice. The microphone likes it better than the whisper voice. Anyway, but anyway, so that's what you did. So how many eggs did you go through for sandwiches?
I think Craig did 9 dozen.
9 dozen egg sandwiches. So you did 9 dozen egg sandwiches at from 1 to 3, and at the 4:30 meal, then you had to make 2 different things to feed the people.
Three
different things. How did you, and, but then you told me you went to the store and you had cooked some hamburger. I'm going to make something out of it Friday. But my point is where did that money come from? Wasn't you broke?
Oh, I didn't know what I was going to, I didn't even have gas to hardly even get there Tuesday. I almost just stayed home, but I'm like, no, we did this a million times, Linda. Go, you've got somebody coming to the church. And my yes man saved me again.
Yeah, so then somebody that support, one of the few people that supports us in Wichita, brought you in a donation.
Right, which got me through the day and was able to get stuff to get through Friday.
To get through Friday. And so that's how this summer has always been. But aren't you facing a big problem tomorrow?
I'm facing a big problem today.
Today?
Yeah.
Well, you can explain it. Now, first off, I told some of the supporters that we had a donation that usually covers this, but the timing of it, it just hasn't got here yet, so you need to tell them what's going on.
Right, because my electric bills are on pay plan, and the way that works is they take your, when you have a high bill and you can't afford the whole bill, they take it and split it into 12 different bill, 12 payments. Then they add that small payment to your regular bill, and you have to pay that bill by the day or they shut it off. The day that all three of my electric bills are on is August 2nd, and the check to pay the electric bills hasn't came yet. So.
Right. So so that means that it's a good thing radio's today, because tomorrow we may not.
If I don't figure out how to pay them by midnight, yeah, they'll all be off in the morning.
Right. That means no internet. That means no electricity, and that's here in the office. That means nothing. The Mission Church was supposed to be open tomorrow.
And then by itself, the Mission Church by itself is over $400, so because of the air conditioner and running in and out and anyway, yeah, we're in a mess.
Yeah, but actually, though, if you did the math and most buildings like that, $400 is actually pretty cheap.
If we were there 30 days a month, the bill would be more like $2,000. That's just for 8 days a month. Those big commercial buildings are expensive to operate.
Right.
That's the main reason they had a problem with an overflow shelter, is because nobody wanted to pay the bill for the heat.
Right. Well, but now that I don't understand, because most places you have to leave the heat up in them anyway sufficiently.
And that's true, too. So, yeah, I don't understand it. But, yeah, that's what the problem was. But, yeah, they got the overflow now, so that's all that counts.
Well, they have the overflow that starts in November.
November to March.
Yeah, there's no overflow right now.
It's only in the winter. They don't have no summer one. They just have to deal with the heat.
In fact, I had a woman come in that she had been just got out of the hospital. This was last Friday. She just got out of the hospital, and she came in and she asked for prayer, wanted to know if there was anybody I knew that could get her a shelter. I said, well, you know, there's a lot of women in there. I could have counted probably 8 women in there that came through there that day that needed shelter. But the big thing that was different with her is she just got out of the hospital. She had cancer. She was in the process of chemotherapy, and, you know, she was all swelled up. She should still been in the hospital, you would think, but she had no place but the street. Now, I put it out on our mission update that we needed help to try to – I wanted to see if I could find somebody that would pay for her a motel room for 4 days, because she did have a check coming on Tuesday night, you know what I mean, and then she had an apartment lined out. But she needed to get in for 4 days, and she had asked big churches. They wouldn't touch her. No agencies, nobody would touch her. And so she came and asked me, and I said, well, you know, naturally, I don't have the money to do that, but I did what I do. I put things like that on my mission update. And used to be, I'd always get a real quick response. People really hadn't been responding much, especially over the summer. But I did put it out, and somebody paid for her a motel room for 4 days. And if you're listening to that, supporter, I really do appreciate that fact. But we really do need your help with the Mission Church, folks. This is our 19th year of helping people like this, people that have no hope, come to us. Like I say, they've been to every place else, and they couldn't get nothing. And so what did they do? They came to us, and the Father used us to get this woman with cancer out of the street until she could get her own apartment. And I pray that did go through for her, but she did get a check Tuesday night at midnight, you know, because that was when the first was. And so I'll check on her this week. She'll probably...
Is that a black lady?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you wasn't there at the time.
Well, I know, but it just reminded me of another lady that came and needed help to get a place until she got her check on this. Yeah, okay. Different lady.
Anyway. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, and there's some good workers in some of those places, but they just can't help because, again, their bosses won't let them. People who have millions in their dollars in their budget send people to a place that has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are a brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
The heart.
The heart. And again, if you don't wish to help with the homeless and poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as that's what keeps us on the air. You can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Okay. Say goodbye to a moment, and I'm going to go into this last thing.
Goodbye, people. I'll see you a week after next. Next week, I go volunteer at the food bank.
Okay. Remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what, Mother?
Always be a blessing to others.
Always be a blessing to others. How can you be saved and not be a blessing to others? You know?
There's those days.
Yeah, there's those days. Well, we won't go into that. We're all human. That's the point. That's why Yeshua died for us. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.